Good evening, everyone. We'll be looking at Proverbs chapter 15 tonight. I hope at least some of you may have had an opportunity to read the chapter, and that will make our time together a little easy, perhaps faster. We won't go to every single verse, at least some of the major important ones that I thought it will be worth considering. Like all other previous chapters and our many of our brothers indicated, it is not a chapter of any particular subject of continuity from verse 1 to the end. A lot of diverse subjects and thoughts are brought up, but almost all of them are one way or other connected to the human behavior, whether it is a wise man or an evil or a foolish man, someone who loves the Lord or someone who doesn't love the Lord. Generally speaking, human behavior are the words that are used in these 33 words. If you read through quickly, the words that I noted, highlighted is the eye of a man, tongue, lips, mouth, heart, bones. Then there is a mention of father, mother, counsel, life, proud, kings, scales or weight, love, thoughts, light, widow, greedy, evil, fool, wise, hell, destruction, revenue or money, and wicked, discipline, scoffer, fear of the Lord, wrath, anger, lazy, hedge, thorns, highway, and on, and there is more you can find. I was just looking through while I'm reading all of these words that the writer is connecting to us is the behavior and the life of a person, which Solomon, in his wisdom, he noticed them. And most of them are very simple and straightforward comments he's making without too much interpretation. Many of these proverbs can be easily understood by anyone who pays attention and read it very carefully. And that is probably true for most of these proverb chapters that we have so far looked at, and probably the next few weeks, several weeks, we may be looking going forward. Now we look at a few verses here as we go through, time permitting. Verse 1 start off with the word answer. A soft answer turns away wrath, but a harsh word stirs up anger. This is a very simple, straightforward statement to understand. Many quarrels and problems and fights always starts somewhere along the way a harsh word by somebody at the wrong time. And that will stir up anger. But on the other hand, a soft answer, it will turn away wrath. Very, very practical application for any one of us. Then in the same verse, he says that knowledge can be used wisely or foolishly. There is a lot of men and women in this world who has extremely wise in the sense of knowledge, but the knowledge can be used either wisely or foolishly. In some cases, you will also see the knowledge of the scripture. Sometimes people use it wisely or foolishly, but generally this is more applicable to the lifestyle of people. Then we come to verse number 2, we see that use of tongue. A lot of instructions here in this one verse, very similar to James may have in his, the eyes of the Lord are in every place, keeping watch on the evil and the good. This is a very important verse for any one of us to remember. The eyes of the Lord is everywhere. We cannot hide anything from the eyes of the Lord. When we read Chronicles, I think it is 2 Chronicles, verse 16, chapter 16, verse 9, when King Asa turned his eyes away from the Lord and he moved away from the presence of God, and the overseer Hanani came to him and said these words: "For the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth to show himself strong on behalf of those whose heart is loyal to him. In this you have done foolishly." In this meaning, Asa turning away his eyes from the Lord. It is quite possible for any one of us in this room now who are listening, we can have our eyes focused on the Lord in our life, but it is quite possible, like Asa, we can turn our eyes away from him, and the result will be sometimes very, very difficult. We often think of Peter when the disciples and the Lord Jesus was on the boat. They were all looking to him. The moment they turned away their look from the face of the Lord to the waves that was around, they started sinking. So very similar, the one thing that we need to remember every day of our life is that the Lord is looking to and fro throughout the whole earth with one purpose: to show his strength, himself strong on behalf of those whose heart is loyal to him. So he is looking for people who has the loyal heart to him, whose eyes are upon him always. So the eyes of the Lord are in every place, says Solomon here. Verse 4 is: a wholesome tongue is a tree of life, but perverseness in it breaks the spirit. A wholesome tongue is a tree of life. A tongue, a person who speaks words that will encourage and loving and kind and merciful. It's a tree of life. A tree of life gives life to others, but at the same time, perverseness breaks the spirit. And this is also very practical and application. Again, in our own, in many circles, even within the churches, sometimes a tongue or a language or a word that is wrongly used at the wrong time created problems, and it breaks the spirit of many people. Unfortunately, in that situations, it is most of the time the suffering will be the people who are innocent. Okay, moving on, verse number 8 and verse number 9. 8 says, "The sacrifice of the wicked is an abomination to the Lord, but the prayer of the upright is his delight." Sacrifice of the wicked, Lord doesn't say, I don't like it, it is not good. He says it's an abomination to the Lord. Word abomination means something that causes a disgusting feeling. That is where the word abomination means. Statistics says this particular word was used in the 19th century almost 10 times more than the 20th and the 21st century. Why? Because many things that in the 19th century and before that considered abomination has become today normal in the daily life. So the word abomination is not much used as it used to be in the 19th and the prior centuries. So this is a very serious matter, sacrifice of the wicked, showing off by our sacrifice of our worship not from the true heart that is pointed to the Lord. Lord says this is an abomination to the Lord. There are other references even in the New Testament, that other parts of the scriptures, we can see that somehow to attempt to manipulate a God through ritual activities. Now, First Samuel chapter 15, verse 22, Samuel said, "Has the Lord as great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as in obeying the voice of the Lord?" The Lord is more satisfied in obeying his voice than to offer him burnt offerings and sacrifices. So that is what Samuel said. "Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to heed than a fat of rams. So we know people were always offering sacrifices and burnt offerings. It doesn't mean that none of those were acceptable to the Lord, but if it comes from someone who obeys the voice of the Lord, it pleases him and worship ascends into heaven. Someone has made a comment some time back. I remember that many of the worship and prayers of people will not go beyond the ceiling, because our commitment, our look and our eyes are not on the Lord. The word heed is used here. The word heed means pay very careful attention, but he loves him who follows righteousness. And at the same time, he also says the way of the wicked is also abomination. The one who is trying to manipulate God by ritual worship, and also the way of the wicked is abomination to the Lord. It's a very serious matter that this verse brings to our attention. Verse 11, hell and destruction are before the Lord. So how much more the hearts of the sons of men? Hebrew words Sheol and Abaddon are symbolic of the unseen world beyond the grave. Both the destruction and death are beyond the grave. And God knows every information about what transpires in death and after that. If God knows all that, how much more he knows you and me every day. Verse 12 says, a scoffer does not love one who corrects him, nor will he go to the wise. A scoffer will not go. He will go to someone who will tell him what he likes to hear, not to a wise man for advice. So that is very true and practical in we see around us. Verse number 14. The heart of him who has understanding seeks knowledge, but the mouth of fools feeds on foolishness. The most knowledgeable people are the one who are seeking for more knowledge. That is very true, right? If you look around, and people who are interested in to know more are the people who has a great amount of knowledge. But for the fool, he is satisfied with what he is and remains fool rest of his life. So the knowledge increases to those who already have knowledge, people. Verse number 16, better is a little with the fear of the Lord than great treasures in trouble. This is an eternal truth of God's word. There are many, many references and instances that this principle becomes applicable. Better is a little with the fear of the Lord than great treasure with the trouble. Better is a dinner of, verse 17, dinner of herbs where love is than a fatted calf and hatred. A dish of vegetables is better than the best beef served with a hatred. A hot-tempered man is always spreading strife, verse 18. A wiser man knows how to avoid contention, and cool it off down after it has started. A wiser man knows how to avoid contention. You and I, whether you are willingly or unwillingly, sometimes will come to disagreements and contentions, and a hot-tempered man in that situation will always spread and increase the strife, but a wiser man knows how to avoid it, but also try to cool it off, cool it down as the strife begins. It's a good advice and a good thought for all of us. We will never avoid strife. We will never avoid arguments and disagreements. That is part of life. But how you handle it, whether you will try to cool it down with a soft answer or you will spread it like many hot-tempered people. Hot-tempered people are very, you know how they behave. They will immediately get angry or they will have a sudden answer for everything. Moving on to verse number 22. Without counsel, plans go awry, but in the multitude of counselors, they are established. What Solomon says is a man who is acting singly or alone, making decisions on things, without counsel of others, their plans and programs will often go away from expected results. It is wise for us to seek the counsel of others when you have to make major decisions in life, especially major decisions. We may not be able to get the counsel of others for everything we do, but there are instances sometimes it will help us to take the counsel and advice of others. There are many examples that we can see on this throughout the scripture, especially in the Old Testament. Many times the prophets and the overseers and the elders of the congregation were advising the people of God in many ways. Also, a timely word spoken at just the right time to meet a particular need is very good, he says in verse number 23. Isaiah 50 and verse 4 says, a word in season to him who is weary, a word in season to whom he is weary. I was talking to someone earlier today also. Those who are going through weariness of any sort, a good word, a good visit, a good call, that will really help. That's what Isaiah said. If you want to have an example of that, the life of our Lord Jesus Christ is probably the best perfect example. He always, when he lived on this earth, his words were timely and it was helpful and healing to the weary that was around him. Verse number 27 and 28. 27 says, he who is greedy for gain troubles his own house, but he who hates bribes will live. Interesting to note the word bribe there. This may refer to a public officer or somebody that you may know who swells his bank accounts by accepting bribes. This practice is very, very practiced in other parts of the world. It is a major problem in some parts, some countries that you may know. You may also know people who have become rich by accepting bribes, and God has severe warning to such. Verse 28 says, a good man thinks before he speaks. Lot of advice on the speaking and the tongue and the words and attitudes are given in this chapter. An ungodly man spew out profanity when he opens his mouth. I'm sure you and I have come across people like that. The moment they open the mouth, they have nothing but profanity comes out first. Years ago, before I came to this country, I worked for a company there, and the owner, he's probably the perfect example. That man has nothing but profanity comes out from his mouth when he speaks to other people. For some reason, I still don't figure it out, but he never used such words towards me. As believers and Christians, we should be very careful of our use of words. Words mean something. Words matters. Words, when once it is out of our mouth, it cannot be taken out, taken back. We should not copy the language of this world in our conversation, especially the younger generation who are, you know, growing up in this country. There are, you know, really language that is not good for Christian believers to use. I will not go into quoting examples. You can already think some of them in your own mind. A great warning for us to living in this world, the 21st century, many things and words and languages and actions that was considered to be abomination in the past has become normal today. So we should not get used to it, but need to be very careful in our language, in our talk. Verse 29 says, the Lord is far from the wicked. Now, John 9:31 says, now we know that God does not hear sinners. A profound, eternal statement of God, that God does not hear sinners. It is not that he doesn't hear, he doesn't pay attention, he doesn't respond, he doesn't listen to them. But if anyone is a worshiper of God and does his will, John says, he hears him. Thank God that we have the access into his presence, and we have the assurance that in and through the Lord Jesus Christ, he promised that our words and our prayers will be heard, but not the prayers of the sinners. Verse number 30, it says the idea of bright eyes. Verse number 30 reads like this, the light of the eyes rejoices the heart, and a good report makes the bone healthy. The idea of bright eyes implies spiritual vitality. A bright eyes is not talking about our vision, but a bright eye in this situation sense is talking about the spiritual vitality. How much are you or me in your spiritual growth? Where do you stand in your level of maturity in spiritual things? Many of us have been believers or Christians and doing things for the Lord, many years and years of it. But where do we stand, the vitality of our spiritual growth and our understanding? Psalms 19 and verse 8, we read, the commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. It's not talking our physical eyes, but our spiritual eyes. The commandment of the Lord, the word of God, the scripture is what Lord uses. He says it is pure. It is also enlightening the eyes of our spiritual eyes. You know, it sometimes burdens my heart to see people have, generally speaking, I'm not talking everyone, but generally speaking, have lost the interest in the word of God. They may come and sit down and listen. How many of us have a regular study, a regular reading of the scriptures, other than just listening from the messages and from the pulpit? So our spiritual growth and vitality is totally dependent on the commandment of the Lord, which is very pure to our heart, and it will enlighten our eyes. The Lord Jesus himself said, before he left, he said, the Spirit of God will come. He will reveal all truth unto you. All truth, not just some. If only we read and meditate with the help of the Holy Spirit. Of course, when the bone is used here, bones here represents the inner strength of a person. Even in a physical sense, Bone is our strength. Without bone, we can't even stand straight. So bone is the inner strength. And again, that is the inner strength of a person in a spiritual sense. Verse number 32, a man who, let me read that, he who disdains instruction despises his own soul, but he who heeds rebuke gets understanding. A man who won't listen to godly instructions will despise himself. Oh, how many people you and I come across such. Even some believers who will not listen to godly instructions and from people of God who advise and give directions to them, and they will not listen to it. How many families have been torn apart? How many problems in the churches have been torn apart just simply because of lack of listening and willing to listen to godly instructions of God's word and of God's people. And the last verse, in verse number 33, the fear of the Lord is the instruction of wisdom, and before honor is humility. The fear of the Lord is the discipline that leads to wisdom. We all need wisdom. I need more than many of you do. But the source is, it is the discipline that the fear of the Lord is the primary discipline to obtain wisdom. And of course, then he closes with saying, humility is the way to gain honor. We like to be honored, may not be to show off in the sense, but we need to be, if you want to be honored, Solomon says, humility is the way to do it. So there's lots and lots of personal, very intense personal application in this chapter. I hope it is helpful to you as it was to me as I was going through it. May the Lord help this to our hearts.